Weirdly, Jackie and I were just talking about hopping. Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and our book pick segment. You know, we love our booksellers, our independent booksellers in this region. They come out and they compile a list week after week after week and tell us great things that are on store shelves. We have a wonderful collection of independent booksellers, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Jackie Callahan to the program. She is from the Golden Notebook in Woodstock, New York. How are you?
I'm great, Joe.
It's good to see you. Thank you very much for being here, as always. I always look forward to our visits. So, where would you like to begin?
So, today, I'd like to begin with a book, and I've never said this about any of the books that I've talked about in the years that I've been coming here, but I think this book is going to be huge. I think it's big. I think it's important. It's a book that's coming out, I would say, in about 10 days. It's by Jason Reynolds and Ibram X. Kendi, and it's called Stamped: Racism, Anti-Racism, and You. And what this book is, it's Jason Reynolds does a remix of Ibram X. Kendi's National Book Award winning Stamped from the Beginning. And this book is so, so incredible. It blew me away. What Jason Reynolds does in this book is he lays out what it means to be a segregationist and an assimilationist or an anti-racist in the context of the last 400 or so years of American history. He talks about the invention of race and human hierarchy and racist policies, particularly in the United States, and how it keeps white privilege and how it keeps whites in power. And he does this in a way that's conversational, that's engaging. By the way, this is a book for middle grade and YA readers, technically. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you read Kendi's Stamp from the Beginning. I haven't. It's a big book. It's really, the parts that I've read are amazing. But this book, even though Jason Reynolds' remix of Stamped is for middle grade, you know, readers, theoretically, it's for everyone. It's for everyone, and you could read it in a day.
Now, I read Kendi's How to Be an Anti-Racist, which is an amazing book. But I have such admiration for Jason Reynolds, who is an amazing writer, especially for young adults.
People are going to be talking about this book, I think, the whole year. This is a book that should be in the hands of every librarian. This should be in every household. Families should be talking about this book. You know, there's a lot that's wrong with America, but there's nothing wrong with black people, okay? There's nothing superior about white people. There's nothing inferior about black people. Active anti-racist love that sees people for the potential they hold instead of the racist lies that we've been told, that's what this book is bringing to us. The other thing about this book is that, you know, it's a call to action. Jason Reynolds says at the end of the book, you know, I have to warn you, scrolling will never be enough, reposting will never be enough, hashtagging will never be enough, because hatred has a way of convincing us that half love is whole love. And what I mean by this is we, all of us, have to fight against performance and lean into participation. We have to be participants, active. We have to be more than audience members sitting comfortably in the stands of morality shouting wrong. That's too easy. Instead, we must be players on the field, on the court, in our classrooms, and communities trying to do right. Because it takes a whole hand, both hands, to grab hold of hatred, not just a texting thumb and a scrolling index finger. So, listeners, please, next week, the week after, run to your indie bookstore and get this one, Stamped.
It is titled Stamped: Racism, Anti-Racism. Try it again. Stamped: Racism, Anti-Racism, and You by Jason Reynolds and Ibram X. Kendi. Okay.
Okay. And that brings me to my next book, which actually comes from, you know, one of the many university presses that we have the pleasure of stocking and that really bring a lot of voices and stories to the table that aren't necessarily always published by the big publishers. So this next book is called Hands on the Freedom Plow, Personal Accounts by Women in SNCC. And it comes from the University of Illinois. And just as Jason Reynolds just asked us to do, what this book does is it opens the door into the history of the 1950s and 60s. And it's a book that collects the stories of women who, like right now, they're in their 60s and 70s and they're teachers, organizers, doctors. But in the 1960s, they leapt over the expectations of their families and communities and acted out to become organizers and agitators in the civil rights movement. And all of the women in this book worked with the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, or SNCC, and that grew out of the wave of student sit-ins that swept across the country, specifically in the South, in the winter and spring of 1960. And so there are 52 women who are speaking in this book, and the history is sort of an oral history. It goes through the movement, and it's amazing. And it's not just Black women, it's white women, and it's Latina women as well, but it is all women. And it's a wonderful, wonderful book.
The name of the book is Hands on the Freedom Plow, Personal Accounts by Women in SNCC, S-N-C-C. Okay.
Okay. So one of the really fun things about owning or co-owning a bookstore is that in a way you kind of get to do a lot what you want. You can put the books that you like on the shelves.
Right.
You can put up posters. And one of the things that we have a great fun doing at the Golden Notebook, and I have to give a major shout out to James Conrad, who's my co-owner, and the artistic talent at the store, is that we're able to put big giant banners on the side of our building. And so this month we have a great big banner of James Baldwin, an American hero, an amazing, amazing person. And that leads me to important writer and just a kind of a towering intellectual figure. One of the books that I haven't read yet, but I've been wanting to read it ever since it came out, is a book called The Fire Is Upon Us, James Baldwin, William F. Buckley Jr., and the Debate Over Race in America by Nicholas Bukola, I believe that's how you pronounce his name. And this book came out in the fall, and it's all about a debate that took place between, and it was televised and recorded, February 18th, 1965, a debate between Baldwin and William F. Buckley, where they debated the topic, "The American Dream is at the Expense of the American Negro." And it was debated at the Cambridge Union, and there was a winner of the debate. I'm not going to tell you who it was.
Okay.
You have to get the book. But the book goes through the really fascinating intellectual history of both of these men, who were born in New York City 15 months apart, both in large families, both from religious families, and kind of talks about their parallel lives, you know, and how they come to meet in this wonderful, incredible debate. And so another story of kind of the American dream and race, it's The Fire Upon Us. And one more thing I'd like to say is that James Baldwin, on the side of our building, gay Black man, this Saturday we're having a fundraiser where we're partnering with the Hudson Valley LGBTQ and Community Center, and 20% of our sales this Saturday are going to be donated to their programming at that center. So I just had to get that in.
Very good. You can find out more information by going to goldennotebook.com. The name of the new book is The Fire Is Upon Us, James Baldwin, William F. Buckley, and The Debate Over Race in America by Nicholas Bukola.
Okay, another book that actually came out last year that I only read over the Christmas break is a really, really incredible book called No Visible Bruises, What We Don't Know About Domestic Violence Can Kill Us by Rachel Louise Snyder. She's a journalist.
It's an amazing book.
It's an amazing, amazing book.
It really is.
It's written in such an engaging way. I don't want to say don't be put off the by the title or the topic, but it really is very, very readable, and you learn so much. 50 women a month in the United States are killed by intimate partner violence, or intimate terrorism, as it's sometimes called. In this book, Rachel Louise Snyder, I think that sometimes we have a tendency to otherize domestic violence, and we think of it as the unfortunate fate of the unlucky few, but truthfully, the most dangerous place for an American woman is in her own home by these statistics, okay? And in the book is sort of like constructed around the story of one particular horrible tale of you know, familicide and domestic violence, and it follows, talks about Rocky Mosier, Michelle Monson Mosier, and their two small children, and this is a something that happened out in Montana in 2015. And as she tells the story of domestic violence between the parents and then what happens with the children later on, she really fills in you know, statistics and stories of family violence, intimate partner violence, and also tries to address a question of, you know, why do men abuse and kill? And tries to see, you know, what are the answers? And for, you know, for some men who've been steeped in the idea that manhood involves control and strength, sometimes their only path towards openness and love is through a woman that they can control. That's one of the answers that she sort of comes at. But she tries to sort of immerse herself in interviews with men who are protected by pseudonyms in this book, who have committed great crimes and are serving terms in prison for that. But she also embeds herself in some very interesting programs in prison, specifically one that's called a batter intervention program that tries to get at some of these root causes of toxic masculinity in American society and have a sense of restoration that can be achieved. She tries to explore also how can we interrupt, or how can, you know, police and law enforcement interrupt escalation? What are the signs, you know, that could lead to a better intervention to prevent a woman's death? And she also provides a lot of information on risk factors. It's a fabulous book.
The name in the book is No Visible Bruises, What We Don't Know About Domestic Violence Can Kill Us. It is by Rachel Louise Snyder.
The next book that I'd like to talk about also does not come out for about another 10 days. And it's by the just incredible writer and essayist Rebecca Solnit. And this book is called Recollections of My Non-Existence, a memoir. And for those who aren't familiar with Rebecca's work, she's actually the author of about 14 books that include books like A Paradise Built in Hell, A Field Guide to Getting Lost, The Faraway Nearby. Some might know her as an essayist. She's a feminist essayist, and particularly one book that a collection of her essays, Men Explain Things to Me, has been very, very popular. Anyway, this is her first long-form book in several years, and it's really highly anticipated. And, you know, as with much of her writing, it's not conventional. This isn't a memoir in the conventional sense. I would say it isn't revealing details about her personal life. It's really like a biography of her voice, you know, in a society that really prefers women to be silent. And she describes the formation of her own powerful voice while kind of taking apart the culture that routinely silences women through silence and degradation. And so she is talking about coming of age in San Francisco as a young adult in her first apartment. And as she's talking about her beginnings as a writer, she's excavating some of the violence and history of the neighborhood that she's living in. And so, actually, so for instance, she does this today in a very powerful op-ed in the New York Times, which I recommend that everyone reads. And she does this on the heels of yesterday's jury verdict in the Harvey Weinstein trial. But in the op-ed, she calls out a case that happened in Albany, Oregon, a few years ago, where a woman by the name of Tiffany Marie Lazin, her husband was accused. She accused her husband of trying to kill her, and the case was dismissed by the judge, saying that her voice was not credible enough. And, you know, just a month ago, she went missing, and it was discovered that her husband killed her after DNA was found on a circular saw. And so in this book, you know, Rebecca Solnit is excavating voices in the stories of her neighborhood and her life while finding her very, very powerful voice. You know, and just one other thing about Rebecca Solnit, and I don't know
about a minute, but
how much you've read of her, but it's kind of like, I don't surf, but I imagine, but it's kind of like surfing, like you're really in a placid place, you're reading her words, and then all of a sudden I find what she says so powerful that you're like riding on this huge wave of like understanding, I get it, you know, and just that what she's able to say about women and voice in our society.
The name of the new book is Recollections of My Non-Existence. Unfortunately, we are out of time.
I understand.
Your other cool book was Liz Moore's Long Bright River.
An amazing procedural, but also an incredible book about stigma surrounding substance use disease in a family and in a community.
You can find out more information about the list and about the bookstore by going to goldennotebook.com. GoldenNotebook.com. You can also find them on our website. Jackie, always good to see you. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.